The evil perpetrated by Catholic priests and the attempts by their enablers to cover in darkness while causing victims to suffer, in many tragic cases, even silence their own lives, it's finally started to be answered for by the Catholic Church in a variety of ways, while the judicial system and financial compensation has taken huge steps forward to acknowledge the painful reality. Is resolve, I guess is the word, is recovery possible for the thousands of victims that are still with us? My next guest himself is a victim of sexual abuse by a Catholic priest who became associated with another. This association resulted in the award-winning documentary A Peloton for One, and with some details about the film, story behind it, story in it, is the co-producer of A Peloton for One, Joe Capozzi. Thanks for being here today, Joe.
Thanks, Chris, for having me. I really appreciate this time today.
And what we've done, we've embedded the trailer of the film on our homepage, and you can also go to apelotonofonefilm.com, learn more about, well, if you've been a regular listener for a lot of years, more than I want to admit, it's going to be a familiar story to a degree, but I think, Joe, what you've done with the Peloton is you've filled in the, okay, what happened after, and you show that in spite of the tragic stories of, as I referenced in the introduction, those victims who took their own lives, there are stories of people fighting to overcome, aren't there?
Oh, there's lots of stories of people overcoming this and people thriving after and doing great things to help others that, you know, are still afraid to come forward. I know for me, when I came forward about my abuse in 2005, it was the hardest thing I ever did to actually say the words out loud, you know, for a secret that I kept over 20 years. And, you know, once I said those words and once I shared this experience with my family, you know, there was no turning back. And I really started to think about, you know, what do I do now? And what can I do actually to help others and to get this story out there to make people understand really the, you know, there are the issues with the church and the cover up and all that stuff, which, you know, has been covered. But, you know, what about the victims? What about the survivors and what we go through mentally and emotionally? And then what happens to us once we come out with our secret and once we go public and once we share the story with loved ones and the emotion that comes with it and everybody involved? You know, it's not just about how it makes one person feel and how it affects one person, but it affects families and it affects so many people. And what we wanted to do with the Peloton of One was to show that and to give people hope too. I mean, I think that's one of the things where in the end is that we want to give people hope. We want to let people know that there is, you know, a great life to live after you've come forward with such a tough secret, such a hard secret, and, you know, that there's hope.
That's certainly the case, too. Talk about the story with David Ohlmuller. How did you come across him, and how did the story develop into what finally became A Peloton of One?
Well, I met Dave, I believe it was 2017, the summer of 2017, and I saw a post of his on social media, on Facebook, and he... I read about his story. He had just come forward about his abuse by a priest that he grew up with in Montclair, New Jersey. And, you know, like is the case with social media and the survivor community, it's a great place where we could kind of come together and help each other out. So I reached out to him, sent him a message on Facebook, and, like, if there's anything, you know, because I had experienced and gone through and dealt with the Archdiocese of Newark, you know, 10 years before that. So, like anything else, how can I maybe help you and share my experience with Dave so that he can get a better understanding of what to expect going forward? And then we talked for a bit, and then he told me about how he wanted to do something to be able to raise awareness and hopefully help others. And he's an athlete, and he's living in Chicago, right outside of Chicago, and he wanted to do something. So for him, it was, I want to ride a bike from Chicago to Montclair, New Jersey, and raise awareness about childhood sexual abuse and about the issue and about the impact of it. that it has on someone. And so I have experience in filmmaking and in writing and creating different art pieces about sexual abuse in my experience. And immediately I was like, let's do a documentary. Let's figure out, like, how could we create some kind of tool, some kind of learning tool, where we could give people advice and information and resources. So we, along with John Bernardo, the co-director, and Steve Malorca, the co-director and cinematographer, John Bernardo went to school with, went to high school with Dave Ullmuller. So Dave put us together, John and I. John's a filmmaker as well. And we kind of hashed out a, let's figure out, let's do something. You know, there's riding a bike, but we just can't show riding a bike for 90 minutes.
Right.
Let's stop along the way and meet people in the different states that we go through. To, and because each state is different. The statute of limitations in each state is different. So let's stop along the way. Let's meet with advocates. Let's meet with lawyers. Let's meet with survivors. And to get a sense of where each state's at legally. And then along the way, talk with people who are doing some incredible advocacy work. You know, people out there, survivors out there that are just trying to help others so that they can get some sense of, you know, like I said, hope and that there's healing out there. And so through that, it was about, okay, we have an idea of this is what we want the film to be. We're going to stop along the way. We're going to go through six, seven different states along the way. And then it became about fundraising because we needed to raise money to produce the film and casting the film, reaching out to the different advocates and the lawmakers and survivors. And that was done mostly through social media, through my connection with the survivor community. And that's how we really cast the film, was through Facebook.
Just an incredible story to tell, an incredible story, too, of survival and overcoming. Talking with Joe Capazzi, who is the co-producer of the film, A Peloton of One on the web. It's apelotonofonefilm.com, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. You have the plan, like you said. There was no guarantee that victim participation was going to be, I would hazard a guess, you probably didn't expect it to be as dominant as it was, because I've talked with people over time, and victims of priest abuse are similar to war veterans who saw battle. The last thing they want to do is go back in any way, shape, or form and talk about that. But you found, either through maybe it's a testimonial to the advocacy that we've seen in recent years, that the openness and maybe even more importantly, the trust within so many of these victims has increased now versus, say, 5 or 10 years ago.
Oh, absolutely. I'm glad you're asking me this, because when I came forward in 2005, you know, I was only encouraged by listening to the survivors up in Boston and the impact that they had on me. And so when I came forward, you know, it still was something where the blame was put on the victim. You know, people saying to me, why didn't you say something sooner? Why couldn't you, you know, why are you just saying this now after all of these years? So the victim blaming, and it's put on, you know, it was put on me to explain to them. No one's going after the perpetrator, the predator, the institution, and asking them why. They ask us. So that was 2005, and then obviously as the years have gone on and more people are in, you know, from the Boy Scouts to, you know, a figure like Jerry Sandusky or Bill Cosby, Larry Nassar at Michigan State, I mean, the more and more that people have heard these stories and victims and survivors come forward and start to share their stories, it just brings a better understanding. And so, you know, people understanding why now someone doesn't say something, why they keep a secret for all these years, the fear, the guilt, the shame that is involved in this. And it's important. That's why it's important that we continue to speak out, because there are still people that are struggling with this secret. And I always just urge anybody that, you know, if you can find that one person or find that therapist, which that helped me incredibly, you know, going to therapy and talking to a therapist and really just getting, it's an infection. A secret like this is an infection. And over time, slowly but surely, it starts to just kind of affect your whole being. And I saw that happen to me. And, you know, it's something that we don't want to happen to anybody else. But, you know, people are more open to talking about it now, and it's not as ugly as a topic. I think it's, especially when survivors have gone through, like I said, have gone through therapy and have worked in with other survivors and victims to talk about it, we get a better emotional handle on the issue. So we can have a conversation like you and I are having right now, Chris, and like I could talk about, you know, what happened to me and the feelings and stuff. But emotionally, we're open to listening. It's not, you know, I don't, you know, about becoming overcome with emotion, which when I first came forward with my secret, I couldn't stop crying when I would tell somebody about what happened to me. My emotion was so raw. And I think that's what you've seen in the film with Dave's emotion, as opposed to some of the survivors who have come forward and have had some time to deal with it. You know, and Dave's in a great place now, and I think this film has helped him. But I think overall, you know, like you said, we've come a long way in the past 5 or 10 years just from people being open to having this dialogue and this conversation and like how we're talking about it right now.
And I think, too, with your film, A Peloton of One, when other victims see this film, it helps put a visual and an emotional to the statistical. Because we've all seen the numbers, you see the reports, you see the financial settlement amounts. Great, those are numbers. That's on a piece of paper on a computer screen. This is the humanity side of it.
Absolutely, and it's just important to, you know, to hear these stories and to give anybody who has gone through or experienced something like this that opportunity to be heard. You know, there's a lot of things I remember people saying to me. It's like, oh, I just, you know, people, you have friends and some family and that kind of step back when a secret like this comes out, or they maybe disappear for some time, or maybe you never see them again or hear from them again because they are unsure of what to say. And I will say to anybody, it's not about saying anything. It's really just about listening. It's about taking that time to sit with someone as they share their experience with you and just listen. And just be open-eared and ready to accept. And, you know, because there are no answers. You know, there's no one can tell you something and all of a sudden, like, oh, my God, that heals everything. But, well, you know, just telling somebody.
I think what we can tell a victim is the fact that you did nothing wrong. Because a lot of victims think it's on them. It's not on you. It's nothing you did, nothing you did not do. There's a reason why the definition of victim is what it is. You're an innocent person. Innocent is the key word.
Right. And that's why we use, there's the term victim and then survivor, right? And that's what's very important within our community is really being labeled that survivor, making it through the other side, coming forward with your secret. And, you know, yes, we were a victim of a crime. We were a victim of a traumatic event, but then we survived that. And as a survivor, we come forward and we by sharing our story, we help others. To me, it's a beautiful, inspiring kind of a place, especially the community, the survivor community, the advocacy community. It's a beautiful, beautiful place.
It is a meaningful film, too, for helping victims, for those who aren't victims, to better understand what the evil perpetrated by the Catholic priest and the church overall, what they actually committed. And it fills in that blank. It takes you to that next page, or really maybe that next volume of the book of the story, the website of PelotonForOneFilm.com. And Joe, if someone wants to see the film, what's some of the ways they can do that?
The best way right now is we are streaming on Amazon Prime Video. You could rent us on there. You could rent us on YouTube, on Apple TV, on iTunes. You could watch it on free on Tubi TV. There'll be commercials on that, but there is a free component. And follow us on Instagram and on Facebook for the latest release dates, because we are being added to other platforms. And we really just hope that, you know, the film is seen by as many people as possible and help as many people as possible.
Words I could say to close this segment: please watch this film, A Peloton of One. Learn more at the website, apelotonofonefilm.com. Joe Capozzi, Thanks so much for the compassion you show the victims, yourself as well, the passion you give to the cause of survival and overcoming. And just thank you for, as we always want to say, we want to make a difference, and you, sir, certainly have. Thank you for doing that.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate your time today.